Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't sex?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Where you been? Wear your seatbelt. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
Oh, that was cryptic. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christine Hutchinson. I don't know what was it was, but I don't know what
it
I meant by that.
It felt like the universe told you to say that, and now I'm worried.
Uh-oh.
I get very worried about car stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, that's why I forgot how to drive, in quotes.
Well, now that I no longer have a Mustang and I have a Volvo, shout out to Volvo, I do drive totally different. I drive like I have kids in the car that I'm taking to soccer practice.
Yeah.
I'm like way calmer. I don't get pissed off.
Well, I feel like it's not as fun to like recklessly drive a Volvo.
That is exactly why I drive calmer. Because it's like, I'm so lame. Oh, look at that mom on Coke.
Right. It does look like you have some kind of over-the-counter pill problem or prescription pill
yeah,
problem.
Yeah.
It's like a prescription pill problem, is like not... That's not cool.
It is very lame. Yeah. Not to like murder my husband's mistress or something in that Volvo. But, you know, we're here and we're alive and you are too. And that's exciting because if you find yourself in New York City Friday, December 1st, that is the next installment of Guys We Fucked Live at the Midnight Theater. These shows are fucking fun and
really
wild. You can be there in person. You could also purchase streaming tickets. It's on a Friday. It starts at 9:30 and you're going to be amazed. It's going to be one of the best nights of your fucking life.
Also, beautiful theater. And Tommy and a bunch of his friends came to see me last time. Didn't tell me that they were coming and didn't tell me until they were back home.
I did see Tommy.
They were there, which I found to be so funny. But literally, as I told Christina, I was like, I had a feeling Tommy was going to come to the show for some reason. And I was like,
wow, you psychic.
But it's also like, I have a lot of meaningful and important intuition, but I also have a lot of useless intuition.
Right. But do you ever get a useless intuitive hit that's not true? I mean, your intuition's pretty...
No.
Pretty good track record.
No.
I still can't tell when it's intuition, when it's not. Like, I know it's subtle and it's a whisper. And those help me. But like, sometimes my dumbass thoughts are also subtle.
Yeah. For me, it's like you have to filter it, but filter out the like obsessive compulsive. But those will be like ruminations. So for me, they're pretty actually easy to filter out because it'll be a constant thing. Like if it's something my mortal self is worried about, I know that's Corinne thinking it, not my intuition, not my higher self.
Yeah.
But again, sometimes it's just like, okay. I mean, like, it's lovely that Tommy came to the show, but that wasn't like, ooh.
Yeah.
Can
wow.
you imagine if you,
change of careers.
If you called like the California psychic hotline and they were like, your best friend's going to come see your show.
You'd wow. Like, here's $1,000.
This was
Thanks.
A terrible waste of $1.99 per minute.
Yeah. Oh, $1.99 per minute.
That's a terrible waste of money.
Yeah, it is. Guys, save your coins. To see us live, if you're listening to this the week it comes out, which means you're a Luminary subscriber, which means we love you more. November 10th and 11th, I'm going to be headlining Zanies in Chicago with Chanel Ali featuring. She is a fantastic comic. She was like, I'm going to be in town. Can I feature?
I like Chanel.
Oh, you just made it sound like an animal. No, I love Chanel too.
Yeah, she's so talented. So that's going to be really fun. I love her stand up. And then the next day, Kevin and I are flying to Nashville, Tennessee to do a one-nighter 7 p.m. At Zanies in Nashville. So come and hang and see us. And as always, four times a month, I host Zoom Sherapy for my Patreon. It's patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. And wow, I had one today and it was really fucking good. The topics we discussed were, oh my God, aliens. This one girl lives on a property that her dad used to work for the government. And there's all this crazy UAP info activity going on. And I love that shit. We talked about boundary setting. This woman was in a thruple situation and her boundaries were getting tested.
A thruple situation ship?
No, so
an actual throw. Oh, okay.
An actual throw.
Her like, partner. Well, that's heavy.
Yeah, but they've been together for 10 years before introducing a third. And so I'm like, oh, wow. She like really did the work to make sure they were solid. And I was like, good on you. I love hearing that. And then just like when you have abandonment issues and you feel abandoned because the girlfriend's with your husband and you're like, So we just talked about that. It's some good stuff. And the audio from every Patreon gets uploaded to the Patreon. So if you can't be there to participate, you can listen back to it. And yeah, I'm really proud of that. Patreon.com/Christina. Jensen.
And then of course you guys can check out my weekly news with a, you know, the special Corinne Flair, Without a Country. Been very interesting, obviously, the past few weeks because we've been really digging into Israel and Palestine, but I'm not taking like the same approach that other news sources are taking, which is like pick a side and really run into it and then just tell everyone why the other side is bad. Like I've been going back historically into you know, the entire history of the Middle East and the conflict there and figuring things out and explaining why, you know, Israel might be feeling this way and Palestine might be feeling this way. I like to do the news like I'm a couples counselor.
Yeah.
Cause I do find like me kind of looking at news stories from the same perspective that you would if you were looking at a relationship. But what I've learned from doing this show is you really can look at almost everything in life from the perspective of a romantic relationship. So it's been kind of interesting to do that. So you can subscribe on YouTube to Without a Country podcast or you can also follow me on Instagram Without a Country podcast. And of course, if you know, we're swiftly approaching 2024. So Washington, D.C., February 29th through March 2nd, I am headlining the D.C. Comedy Loft. That's going to be a really fun show. Haven't been to D.C. in a couple of years. I think the last time is when I was with you in D.C. and we were fun. What were we? What was that?
It the book tour thing?
Oh,
or was that the one where the girl scared us and we thought we were going to get Selena'd? Gomez.
I remember that we were eating from a fancy toast shop. We found a place where they sold really expensive toast and we got really into it.
Oh, I'm getting a memory.
Yeah. Back. Like they had avocado toast, but then they really leapt from there into some other like dynamic toast options.
Like Nutella with bananas
that. Yeah. Yeah. It was wildly overpriced, but delicious.
Nutella with bananas.
Also, fun fact,
shut up, Michael.
Washington, D.C., home to the largest Wawa so far.
There's
room to open bigger ones in New York.
Yeah, it feels like in a city wouldn't be the biggest one just because of the per square foot cost.
This Wawa has a dine-in area with like tables and chairs. It's huge.
It was the one right across from the hotel we were staying at, right?
Yes.
I remember I was waiting outside it at a certain point with other people to get breakfast sandwiches.
Yes.
Because we were out late enough that I was like, I'm just going to wait.
So they close from like 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. to look clean. And
we were very furious.
My hotel looked onto the Wawa and I went to go in and I was like, what the fuck? I was so mad because I was really dead set on having this fucking turkey sausage on a croissant.
Yeah.
And then I went back up on my hotel and I just watched for an hour people, drunk, wasted ass people going up to the Wawa. Looked open and then go, what the fuck? And having a meltdown.
Yeah, two to three seems like the wrong bracket. I would choose 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 if I'm closing for an hour. 2 to 3 is too early.
Yeah, do 4 to 5. Yeah. Ain't nobody, if you're out that late, drunk, 4 to 5, you could find a diner. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine.
But maybe it's a corporate plan because to save their workers, the nonsense of the, because I think 2 a.m. is closing time or in D.C. because it's usually closing time in any city that's not New York is 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last call, whatever.
Right.
And then maybe that's, but it seems like it's, I don't know, like I haven't looked at the breakdown. It seems like, yes, it would be aggravating, but you would still lose a lot of money by not being open in that time. Especially because, I mean, if you go to a Wawa drunk, I'm spending $10 to $20 more than I would sober.
Hell yeah. Because that Wawa got all the snacks you could possibly dream of.
Right.
And a whole deli behind the screen of a computer at your service.
Oh yeah.
I mean, whoo.
Yeah.
Give me that gobbler. It's gobbler season, baby. Oh gosh.
It is.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small. A lot of them are very big, but we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF. So we are in our second episode of Men. A celebration. And I have been watching. So my man hero this week, I want to celebrate him. I want to have him on the podcast. I mean, if anybody listening knows him, we have some contacts, but like, I want to wrangle the forces. We'll do it over Zoom.
It's Russell Brand. No.
He's perfect and never did anything wrong. And he's a feminist hero. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hmm. Holy shit.
Oh, interesting.
I did not know.
Not expecting okay. that.
I didn't
he's
expect it
also
either.
Also like a Republican politician.
So get this, dude.
Well, yeah. He's get not this. The worst Republican politician.
No, he's incredible. Yeah. He's actually an amazing human being.
Okay.
With a fantastic life story. And he treats his life, and always has, very ahead of his time, Arnold. There's a Netflix docuseries, I think it's called Arnold, that I highly recommend. This guy, full of surprises, okay? And has managed to have a work-life balance, meaning like he said this in the doc, my personal life is good and healthy and my career is healthy, and you don't get a lot of people with both. This guy, I wish he could be president of the United States because I would fucking vote for him.
Whoa.
He got into bodybuilding when he was younger, and there was issues with his parents, but he said his younger brother was really affected by it,
uh-huh.
really affected by their parents in a way that Arnold wasn't.
Yeah.
And he was like,
similar.
We had similar qualities in my brother and I, but these qualities were positive in my life and the downfall of my brother's life. And he goes, it's all mental. It's all how you think about things and approach things.
That's such a bodybuilder perspective.
Well, so what he started doing when he was bodybuilding, oh, I have this quote because I'm like, you motherfucker, Arnold. I fucking love you. So he always aimed to be, you know, the best in whatever he did. And mm-hmm. he crushed bodybuilding, and he gave bodybuilding a name by being a part of this documentary. All this stuff is in the docuseries. But he said, I focus on my strengths and working out, but I also focus on how I can derail my opponent psychologically. So part of his but he's very open about it. And he's like, part of my strategy is, of course, I can control what I work on with me, but sure. also, is there a way that I can get under the skin of my opponents? And there was this one thing where he was up against his childhood hero with the weightlifting.
Oh.
And he said to him, or I think he might've said to camera with him standing right there, like, in this match, I'm your father and you're my son. Like, he just said that, and like, it totally derailed the dude, and he won.
Interesting.
And then he crushed it in bodybuilding, and he's like, all right, what's next? And he was like, I think I would like to become an actor and see how I can get successful in that. He fucking became a real estate mogul before he made millions in acting. He just like started buying apartment buildings in Los Angeles.
That's a little Trumpy though, but yeah.
I mean, but like, and then he met Maria, which I did not know was a Kennedy. She a fucking cat. I didn't know that. I just thought she's like some lovely lady.
No.
So he was.
I feel like Hollywood is all like so much more incestuous than we really like realize. Like, truly. Like, you know, someone's not just like, you know, marrying, like, you know, even like a Brooklyn Beckham. It's like, that's not just some like chick. It's like her dad owns Wendy's.
Yeah. And she's got, hot she's chick. Got the face to prove it. God, she's
the
so
rich
hot.
Do not date down. That's they do it in like would. In like fantasy stories.
Well, yeah. You know? Well, the Prince and the Pauper. Yeah. But this, Arnold's incredible. And then he got, but he was invited to this party by one of the older members of the Kennedy family who just like heard of him and liked him and then was introduced to Maria. And when he was introduced, the woman was like, this is Maria. She's very fond of you. She has like an eye for you. And then, so Maria like picked him out. And then they just like had this beautiful love. They didn't go quite into the love story, but like it was really great. And then after he annihilated the box office in the 80s and came up with all of his own taglines. And he made a point to like, I don't want to get injured in my movies, but not as in like, I don't physically want to get injured. I don't want my characters to ever be down and out in these movies. So that's why he has these smug lines of like, oh, you don't want to do that? Okay. And then he presses a button and a bomb goes off. You know, like, so he really kind of curated his career in that way and competed with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I know.
Because Sylvester was the box office hero and then Arnold came along and then Arnold was number one.
Well, Arnold actually says in the Sylvester Stallone documentary that Sylvester Stallone was always a little bit ahead of him. Which I thought was like, huh, big of you.
Yes.
To admit that on camera.
He really appreciates competition and he's very honest with himself on like, if a guy's better than me, like, that's awesome. That's going to make me strive to be better.
I'll tell you what, Sylvester Stallone's definitely hotter than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Holy shit. Early Sylvester Stallone.
So I was watching that. Whew. What was that movie? Whew. Fuck, what was it called? It was one of his early movies. It was the one that was the starting movie of Rambo, but it was before the Rambo.
First Blood.
Yes. Yeah. So good. He's so hot.
He's really
hot. He's like an ad for Botox also. Like that guy doesn't have any facial reactions.
And the reason why he has that little like impediment, like speech impediment, but also his mouth is actually the way it is like his mother was so like broke that he was delivered at some like walk-in clinic and they fucked up the delivery. And so he's had that since he was a baby.
Holy shit.
And I was like, I mean, honestly though, but that really just talks Badass. About the universe because it's like that could have been an impediment for him, and it turned out to be like one of the signature things about Sylvester Stallone and just like helped him stand out that much more.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so I think it is, you know, kind of it goes into what you're talking about with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like you can let something about you be a pro or be a con, and that's up to you.
Yes. And he let everything about him be a pro. And he really set goals in the way that I see women setting goals for themselves now of like, I can do this and it's going to be hard work, but here's a step-by-step. He like always had that in him, which was really cool. And I wrote a bunch of stuff down. He always aimed to be the best.
Looking to see if he produced this documentary himself. Cause I was like, this feels skewed.
But then he crushed it in acting for years and years and years. And he was everywhere and he was making so much money. Yeah. And then he got a business partnership. He got a business manager. He's like, I want to be making investments. Mm. He's one of the reasons we have Humvees. He invested in Humvees to be like a bigger, like these bigger military vehicles to be on the streets. I mean, I know that's not great for the environment, but
that's a weird thing. Just,
he's got a big, big footprint. And then he was having a conversation.
Carbon footprint.
Big in carbon. And then he was having a conversation with Maria and because of her being a Kennedy and he was invited to all of these, he was invited to the Special Olympics and fell in love with these kids and being able to help them and raise awareness for kids with disabilities. He was like, I think I want to run for office because I have a good understanding of what people need and how they're not being heard. And Maria had this really traumatic reaction to it because, you know, all of her family has been murdered. And so
I would say that's warranted.
She freaked out. He was like, we were in a hot tub and I was running it by her and she freaked out. And he said, he goes, all right, if you're not 100% behind me, I won't do this. And I was like, wow, very interesting. And then there was a moment where he was debating running. He was supposed to go on Jay Leno and either announce that he was or was not running. And Maria still didn't want him to run, but then she slipped a note under the door when he was in the bathroom. And she was like, if you were running, I suggest saying this. And if you're not running, you should talk like this. And he basically took that as her blessing. And then so when he was on the Jay Leno, Jay was expecting him to say, I'm not running. And then he just made the decision. And then he fucking what? Like, this guy, everything he does is good. And then there's this scene in one of the, like, the third episode where he's driving a 6-wheel military tank that he purchased. And he goes, it's a toy. Like, and he goes, people forget to have fun. He's like, you have to have fun. Most people don't do that. They worry and then they work and then they worry and then they work. And where's the fun? He's smoking a stogie in his 6-wheel military thing on his, like, private compound. And I'm like,
oh my God,
yo, this motherfucker figured something out, like, from jump. So that's why Sylvester Stallone is my man hero of the
Arnold
week.
Schwarzenegger.
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger. I knew I'm so sorry.
I knew there would be a wife heavily involved once you said it was a man living his best life.
Did you get to the part with
there's
the
a wife
affair?
Heavily involved.
No, I haven't gotten to that yet. Oh, I'm only 3 episodes in.
Because I was going to say.
Oh, I don't know if it's in the thing.
I was going to say. I hope it is.
He has a love child with a maid.
There's definitely heavy problems in their marriage. I was like, I knew that. I didn't know that there was specifically an affair with the maid, but
I didn't get to that part yet.
I mean, listen, I love Schwarzenegger too. And he among us cast the first stone, but like,
for sure.
Well, he's very like when he's on a movie set, he's kind to everybody and stuff. I mean, obviously honestly, I was watching them. And I'm like, this guy is so awesome.
Yeah, because they're divorced now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he cheated on her with.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure with.
Because in my head, I was
a good guy and cheat. I just, you know, I
think overall Schwarzenegger's a net positive. Yes, I agree with you. I was a fan. You know?
I can't believe how many times I was blown away and surprised by him. I love being surprised by people. I love thinking I got people pegged for this is who they are. This is the box they live in. And then that box just gets obliterated by all of these facets of this person's life that I had no idea. And the whole time I was like, please, I hope you didn't get me. Please don't Me Too somebody. Please don't Me Too somebody. Because like, I don't want your reputation to be ruined in my head because I love you so much now. And I'll never stop loving you, Arnold.
Wait, that sounds
good. And also, Boo Boo had a nice face when he was young. I mean, he's handsome. He's a zaddy for sure. But he was hot, which that kind of guy was never my type. But his face was like angelic.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when you just said the Me Too thing, I was like, I feel like he was very recently Me Too.
Oh, man.
I didn't want to
look it up because I was scared.
It was like this summer.
This summer?
Yeah. Because I was like, the minute it came out of your mouth, I was like, no, that like literally just happened.
I knew there was an affair. I knew that because I knew that they were divorced. But I was like, an affair, I don't count. Like, that's in a separate category for me.
I guess for men, a celebration, we just don't talk about the groping.
No, we have to talk about it. We definitely got to talk about it. We can't live in my fun world of just, you know, blind.
Yeah.
Blind,
so from June 2023, Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is from Insider.
Mad recent.
Arnold Schwarzenegger addresses accusations that he groped women. Forget all the excuses. It was wrong. So he admitted that he did it.
Oh, well, that's nice at least.
Yeah.
To fucking don't lie to me.
I think
and say
it was
he did
younger
it.
Arnold. I think.
Well, there's a lot of videos.
Well, I mean,
of-
yeah. No, I'm sure it was.
It doesn't. I guess it doesn't matter.
He
makes me feel a little bit better.
If we're trying to
though,
salvage,
does make me feel a little bit better.
Christina's
though, be
10-minute Arnold Schwarzenegger profile, then you know it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger is addressing accusations of misconduct that have been hanging over him for 20 years.
Right.
Okay,
but that's like
okay.
most people's are old because you know, like he's not really like. He's not at the top of his game right now where he could be groping people. Right. I mean, that's kind of, you know.
Totally. Netflix he was governor.
Yeah. So it says, and it's also coming up because like, yeah, probably in part because this Netflix documentary was coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. So.
That's a bummer.
It delves into, they're talking about the documentary. They say it delves into Schwarzenegger's personal life and sees him address the secret son he fathered with his housekeeper while married to Maria Shriver,
as well
as the claims that he groped and humiliated several women in separate incidents across 3 decades.
Oh,
days before
shit.
He was elected governor. This is such a Me Too thing. I honestly feel bad doing this.
That's all right. You know what? I have to learn to not hide from the truth. Poof. And I blatantly did not look this up because I'm like, I don't want this to be ruined.
Well, just when it came out of your mouth that your hero was Arnold Schwarzenegger, I was like,
I still like what I learned about him on the documentaries.
Listen, but I
think that does negate some of the stuff.
And that's what a documentary, you know, people always say, oh, that documentary was biased. And, you know, what I learned from working for Michael Moore was that, like, to make a kind of an entertaining documentary, you kind of do have to pick a side, and then you just fucking keep doubling down on whatever side you picked.
So yes, this
documentary chose to be like, this is how Arnold Schwarzenegger positively impacted the world. I mean, sometimes in a docuseries, there can be one part where it like goes down a little bit. Like in the Beckham one, they basically dance around the fact that he cheated when he got traded to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But they didn't really go deep into it. I'm sure that was because Victoria and David had final say. And yeah,
I'd be really stunned if Arnold didn't have...
I was on IMDb actually looking to see the credits, but in the quick scan I did while Christine was talking, I didn't see him actually listed as an executive producer, which wasn't interesting, but maybe I didn't go through enough credits. I mean,
this docuseries is very heavily led by interviews with him present day.
Right.
So I imagine he's just not going to talk about that stuff.
For sure. And then it says days before, this is back to Schwarzenegger, days before he was elected governor of California in 2003, the Los Angeles Times published a report in which six women accused Schwarzenegger of touching them in a sexual manner without their consent.
Okay.
In archival footage from his campaign trail interviews, the FUBAR star is seen calling the report made up and declaring that he never grabbed anyone or pulled up their shirt or grabbed their breasts. That's pretty specific. However, while delivering a speech on stage, he also issued a mea culpa of sorts, admitting that he had behaved badly sometimes on, quote, rowdy movie sets. You know, those rowdy movie sets. Mm-hmm. And had done things which were not right, which I thought was playful.
Okay.
Those people that I have offended, I want to say to them that I am deeply sorry about that. And I apologize because that's not what I'm trying to do. He added at the time.
Okay.
And now he's looking back and saying that it was wrong,
That's pretty cool. Man who learns from his mistakes, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
We will never know, but you know.
I wouldn't say that grabbing someone's breast is really a mistake though.
No, that's assault. Yeah. Yeah. And you just didn't. Has pause to think that you're violating somebody's body, which, you know, shame on you.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on. Obviously, it's, like, you know, very similar with that. That's just interesting. But yeah, I mean, they always do come, you know, Business Insider, obviously, it was like, you know, now's the time to write it about it. Because of course, you do have to write these when people give a shit about the person.
Yeah, that's how you get clicks, baby.
That's how you get clicks.
He's on everybody's mind. Okay. Well, you know.
Let's have Maria Shriver on the show.
Oh, I love
her. Let's have her do...
I really like her.
Let's have her do a podcast reply to the documentary about how amazing her husband. I would love to hear
ex-husband
from a slighted woman.
Yeah.
Because no one tells
Hell
the truth.
No fury, baby.
Truthier than a slighted woman.
Yeah.
I love it.
Maria, open invite, baby.
You're a fucking Kennedy and we'll have you catch
on
a break.
First. We'll have you on before Arnold.
Oh my God, I would love that.
That's... Okay.
Oh, wait. And then, yeah, Sylvester Stallone, there was a quote because you shared some quotes. Sylvester Stallone, my favorite quote from the documentary was, "I'm doing nothing good because I'm listening to everybody else," which I mean, ooh, was a very like a very up my alley quote, of course. But, you know, I didn't realize he was not having a lot of success as an actor. He was just getting cast in kind of like these. As he calls them, thug roles, because you know he's Italian during that time period.
And pornos.
Pornos.
He was in porn.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
is
God.
That
I'd like
porn
to see
on the
that.
Internet? Because I will absolutely watch that.
I'm sure you could find
oh,
that. Yeah,
hell
it's like
yeah.
It's like
you
very
got
early
plans tonight.
It's like 70s, ooh, early 70s young. Slot.
I bet he has a huge dick. Oh, yeah,
oh, definitely sure. Does. I didn't watch this. Thing,
well, he's not
yeah.
that tall.
Dick
with that face.
Famously,
he's only like 5'10" or something.
SRI Short King, come over.
But and so he wrote and he starred and directed Rocky himself. Yeah,
He didn't direct the first one.
He directed the later ones, but
but he wrote the
Rocky. The script.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very much a page from, you know, Guys We Fucked. It's the same thing that if like people can't see you the way that you know you need to be seen, you have to create a piece for yourself. That's the advice that I've given to so many, specifically male comedians over the years, and they just refuse to hear me. I go, I'm literally telling you the exact formula for success. You have to create something that will let people see you the way you want to be seen. That's it. That's the whole secret. Mm-hmm. And I've told so many people that, and they just fucking
Corinne,
still like to say,
somebody's got to give me my big break.
Why wasn't I picked for this thing? Because you have to show people who you are. It is the kind of talent that you have to have for someone to just pluck you out of, you know,
the, really
the,
hot
the ether. And these are people who are actually pretty hot. But you have to show people, this is specifically what I am good at.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, Sly breaks
how the
through.
Fuck would someone look at me in an audition and go, oh, this girl's good at making other people feel confident? You wouldn't fucking be able to get that.
Right.
Right.
You wouldn't know that.
So right. Stallone breaks through doing Rocky in a role where he's like slurring his words and he's, you know, he fits a certain, he is Rocky. He's like, he is that character, an Italian guy from Philly. That's like a long shot. It works.
He's actually from New York, not from Philly. He's from
his kitchen. No, I know, but Rocky is from Philly.
Which is a wise decision because you know Philly be off.
Right. But he fits that, and that becomes such a big hit that he basically just puts himself in a position where he can kind of like
do whatever,
carve out his own path. He can call a lot of his own shots. He wins an Oscar basically on the first big thing that he does.
And then he actually had five flops in between that, and then Rambo comes.
Oh, he's made some horrific movies.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
Yeah. He had a lot of terrible films come out. And also people were really eager to see him fail, I think, because he got success so quickly.
What's that like?
Yeah. And it was a very, but that was very interesting.
Well, there is a porn on xvideos.com, The Italian Stallion. He doesn't, I mean, you know, I'm just play a little bit of it just to see, and we'll let you know. Oh.
Are you tired of being lonely?
Yes.
Meet older women. I can.
Oh, thank God.
I love that. That ad literally started with old pussy is better than no pussy.
Yeah, I see. Oh, that ad.
That's awful.
No.
Old pussy's amazing. I mean, how old are we talking?
Right, let's fast forward.
Like, I mean, what's happening?
Oh, okay. They're on the couch and she's licking a fruit.
Oh, 70s.
She looks like she's... Oh, wait, no. She's kissing his hand. He's loving it. Oh, wow. There's two ladies now. They're making out. Where are you, Sly? Where you at, Sly? Okay, those ladies are really doing it. The ladies are still doing it. Sylvester's nowhere to be found. There he is. Let's see that cock, Solve. Sly.
There's just a lot of like
Bush.
Touching, but not a lot of insertion that I'm seeing.
Yeah, where is your dick? Oh, whoa. So now Sly is on a pile of ladies, three of them. That looks fun. Well, that one's got a nice butt. Where's your dick? There's the bush. Oh, boy. If she got a wax, it would hurt. Show me that dong, Sly.
You're not even seeing anything. How would this make anyone horny?
Well, oh, wait. It was the 70s.
Oh, his dick's not that. Wait. Ah, get out of the way, lady. Oh, his dick's flaccid.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't look like it's erect.
Well, see, that goes to show you could be in the company of three beautiful women to film a porno and it's still silly putty in a mouth.
Okay. Wait, let me just Google Sylvester Stallone
cock
nude.
Ooh, love that.
There has to be something going on here. Oh, here, gaymalecelebs.com.
Okay, I'll take it.
No, it's not huge, actually.
Oh, it's good. It's like an average. Love it. Love an average peen. So you could do tricks with it.
He is very pale. See, that's the thing. When he first came out, he was so pale. That's why he's so much hotter. And then he started getting spray tan.
Oh, because he's pale in that porn.
Yeah, like, no. Like if you
it's like a heroin addict.
When he in his first roles, when he has like the bit roles, he's like that deathly like heroin chic pale that I love in a man.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Looks so good.
All right, guys. So our second episode of Men a Celebration, we are dedicating it to emails from male identifying and male listeners. So the first email, and if you want to email us, if you don't already know, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Make that subject line, you know, to the point. This first one is, I was sexist until your podcast.
Wow. We're changing the world.
Wow.
All right.
It's from Mike.
No, it's not.
Also, Mike, I've heard noise from you three times so far. Once was a video that accidentally played. Once
what?
Something
what are you
fell out of your
about?
Mouth.
I heard the video too.
So if you're at home, you know, and you're able, take three shots. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Corinne and Christina, I've been listening for a long time. And as you can guess, it changed me quite a bit and figured you'd be interested in a story like this. Started listening when I was 15.
Oh, perfect. Oh, we got to you in time.
Yes, baby.
We got to you in time.
We get to the youth when they're vulnerable and prone to being shaped, and we're going to shape you well. I'm now 21. And at the time, I had pretty terrible views. Used to be very right-wing.
We're grooming this listener.
For the better. Yeah. Good. Happy. Give me a comb. Dear. Let's groom you. Used to be very right-wing, and my dad was a major part of that. Even when I was 7, he would try to tell me things like, hey, what are your views about abortion?
Jesus.
Oh, my God. Ugh. And proceeded to brainwash me about shit he had no idea about. He would spoon feed me views about women and their roles. So as you can imagine, he kind of fucked up my young head. Mm. Yeah, man. That's the thing with these dudes that are like shitty and they're adult men. I'm like, you weren't born that way. And I know you weren't. So like, let's dive into the core of you. Okay. But when I was scrolling through SoundCloud, I saw your podcast and my young brain went, women talking about sex? Hell yeah.
That's how we get you. That was the plan. You fell for it.
But after listening to it, I wasn't happy. Even started to hate listen. Honestly, I love that.
That's so much of our demographic.
But as episodes went by, I found it harder and harder to disagree with your points until eventually something gave and I started doing my own research.
Yes.
Yes, I love that for you, Kang. Pretty much immediately saw my dad was a fucking idiot. It's a bummer to realize that, but it happens. So you two pretty much changed my entire view on both women and life. Starting realizing therapy is for everyone. What women do with their bodies is their choice.
Okay.
And after listening to some of your LGBT guests, I even realized I was gay.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. Boo, yes.
Ooh, what? How interesting.
Well, very interesting. My life could have gone down the wrong path and could have spent my entire life before coming to terms with my sexuality without your podcast. Corinne, are we heroes? I think we might be.
Thank you. Incredible.
Thank you guys so much. Attached is an image of my cat. Not important to the email, but it's a cute cat. And she is flabbergasted. It's on the other email. It is a very cute cat. Oh my God. That makes me so happy.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Dude, getting them young. Because I feel like if you're going to be brainwashed by something, we'll brainwash you. Cause I do think that our values are pretty even keeled and in the spirit of humanity and in the side of humanity and growth and love.
Well, and also, I mean, like when he talked about doing his own research, I think that's the most important thing. Like
yes.
If you get interested in something we're talking about, don't just take our word for it. That's idiotic. Yeah. Go out and do your own research and then see how you feel about it. But I think it's our job to just present new ideas or ideas in a way that you maybe hadn't thought of them before. And then, yes, anytime someone's like, oh, I agree with almost everything you say, I go, well, that's alarming. That's not,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're not me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, this is, it didn't say my name, so I didn't, it was like a cue card that I didn't know that was. I go, me know how to read. Says, did that help? I'm a 21-year-old gay man in a polyamorous relationship with a woman.
Interesting.
I know that sounds weird, but when we got together 1.5 years ago, we tried to have sex because we had very strong romantic connection between one another. And when that failed, she offered me to remain together since everything worked except for sex and to be poly so that we could both be sexually satisfied outside of our relationship.
Whoa.
At the time,
sounds fun.
I had never considered polyamory for myself. And looking back, I agreed to it because I was in love with her regardless of my sexual orientation. That's an interesting concept.
So fascinating.
And I was willing to do anything to keep the relationship going. I thought I could separate my sexual needs from my romantic needs. Flash forward to now, she has embraced the poly lifestyle and I have not. Mm. She has another boyfriend that I like and have no problem with. And she has started another fling with a man on Reddit. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, no. What? Oh, God.
Personally, I've had 2 one-night stands that made me realize that I wanted more than just sex with men I barely know. Okay. I also have no other romantic partners because, frankly, the idea of having 2 partners sounds extremely exhausting to me. And for a while, my girlfriend was enough. still, it seems like it's the only way for us to be together and for me to have a healthy sexuality. We are getting at a crossroads where I need to actually embrace polyamory or get out of the relationship, even though I love her. Yeah. But I'm not sure what to do. How do you know if you're poly? You're not.
You're a gay man.
Yeah. Should I try it and then decide, or should I trust my heart that I'm just not polyamorous? I think you just need attention. And this woman, in the way she presented herself as a friend to you, gave you attention in the way you needed, and you are mistaking intimate friendship with romantic love.
Yeah.
That's
because she's not giving you, if you're not sexual with her, I'm assuming you guys like don't make out and hold hands, but like that part of a relationship is really important for like trust building and feeling seen and heard and having a steady foundation with a person. And if you're not attracted to her because you're not straight, then you deserve to feel attracted to somebody and then also have those things reciprocated. Those like romantic portions of a romantic relationship like reciprocated.
Yeah. I also think it's like, if you're hanging out, so you're 21 years old, right? So if you're hanging out with people only your age and you compare what women at 21 act like and what men act like at 21, just women have a lot more, and this is a broad statement. I'm not saying every woman, and I'm saying not saying no men, but if we're doing a stereotype, most women at that age will be able to give a lot more of themselves emotionally than a 21 year old guy would. Mm. So it's like, you know, and I'm guessing if you're gay, you have perhaps a little bit more feminine energy than a typical straight guy, right? So you probably need a little bit more emotion in your relationships. And that's why it was easier to get that from a woman. I mean, like there's, you know, that's why that, you know, the fruit flies exist, you know?
Oh, is that the women, women that like
it's
latch
a progressive,
on?
It's a progressive way to say fag hag.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, is that what you mean? Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So you can't say that anymore. So it's fruit flies now. People have other sayings for it, but fruit flies is the one that I thought was cutest.
Yeah. It's cute.
And and so that's why that is such a like a common relationship structure, right? You, like every kind of every gay man of a certain type of gay man with like a little bit more feminine energy, maybe feminine needs, right? Has a fruit fly. It's because you're getting so much from that relationship, right?
Yeah,
you know, even me, like you know, my best friend, I don't really find to be super feminine, but he probably more feminine than me, but I mean like most straight men are more feminine than me. So, but I mean like our relationship is extremely, has given me like much more over the years than most of my romantic relationships. Yeah. Right. I mean, we're basically, me and Tommy are basically married.
Yeah.
Even his partner says so.
Yeah. You know? I have been in love with two gay men in my life more when I was younger, but I was like, I was so, like, wait, I could feel this safe emotionally with a man. And then, but one of them was not out, but he was on the DL. And I was like, oh, dude. But it's, that is what it is. It's this like emotional connection that you're kind of starved for a lot of times when you're young and you're straight and you date dudes.
Yeah.
Okay. Next email. Religious ED thought my pre-cum was an STD.
Oh,
Hi, Karen and Christina. Loyal fucker here. 29-year-old cis male.
Oh, now it's even more alarming.
Please keep me anonymous. You got it, dude. I've been listening for years and I wanted to thank you for broadening my understanding of sex and education, educating me on many sexual topics. I grew up religious, Lutheran, religious schools too. My biology teacher was so timid when he tried to explain sex. Your biology teacher. Whoa. He couldn't even say the word penis without some sort of inflection and only spent 1 hour of class on the topic.
Penis?
He only spent one hour class on the topic. Wow.
That's my number one. One of my biggest pet peeves is when people can't say a sexual organ without saying it in a silly term like vagina. Like,
oh,
I
God.
Hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
that was
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the things that we talked about when we started this podcast. I was like, can someone just say fucking vagina or vulva or penis in like
with
a normal fucking tone without singing it or making a silly or covering your mouth? Like, it's just, it's so juvenile.
Yeah. And it's a drier upper.
Yeah.
Cut to about 6 years after high school, just before I started listening, I had my first date, again, very religious and sheltered. And we started making out / hooking up. The only sexual experience I had up until this point was porn. Uh-oh. So I had no idea about the sensations you feel in the moment. We attempt to have sex, but I'm so nervous about my sexual debut that I can't get hard, which is a recurring theme in my sex life due to religious shame and porn addiction I'm actively working on. Hell yeah, work on that, boo. And we part ways. I go to leave and finish the job at home. When I get to the act, there is a strange substance on my penis, which I now know is pre-cum. Oh, damn. You didn't know that until then. Shit, dude. That's
pre-cum
what happens.
Pre-cum is so specific.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that impossible.
What do you mean that you wouldn't know what pre-cum is?
Yeah.
But
you get it when you, like, if you wake up in the morning and you just, like, had an erection when you're sleeping. You
oh,
have
I know.
It, you know, like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't have to be.
Pre-cum's my favorite type sexual. Of cum. It's my favorite.
Really?
It's my favorite iteration. Yeah, because it's not as.
It's tastier?
It's not as. No, it's just like even to look at, it's like more appealing. It's like a like stickier and more fun and not like, and also clearer, which I find to be more visually appealing than the white chunkiness.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
White or
yeah.
yellow chunkiness, depending on what you're eating.
Yellow? Sometimes I've never seen it yellow.
Sometimes it can be like an off-white. I'm not saying like piss yellow.
Yeah, okay.
Like ivory.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so when I get to the act, there's a strange substance on my penis, which I now know is pre-cum, and I freak the fuck out. I feverishly Google what it could be. Oh, don't do that, boo. And a multitude of STD options pop up, so I go see my local general practitioner about it. I get tested, and I'm clean, of course, because it's just pre-cum. She prescribes me some antibiotics and sends me on my way. Antibiotics? For pre-cum?
He probably missed, like, he
told
probably
the
told,
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were waiting until marriage, but she looked at my penis and then it started jiggling.
Yeah.
While my first girlfriend and with my first girlfriend and any time after that, I get loads of pre-cum, but I still to this day won't get hard. And it certainly isn't a reluctance or a willingness. It is because I'm too nervous. Is it because I'm too nervous in the moment? Absolutely. The erection stuff is completely, it's more mental than I thought. Need more emotional intimacy with my partner. I have no trouble getting hard on my own.
There's your answer right there.
Exactly.
As we talked about with our urologist, but yes. I mean, like, that's the answer right there. Even if we hadn't talked to him, it's like
lower stakes.
It's that there's nothing wrong with your dick if you have no trouble getting hard on your own. That's your answer.
Yes. I tried variations of Viagra through one of your old sponsors, popped one last year with a girl and I was super into and had been flirting with a lot to physically test the theory, and still no dice. I mean, the mind is very powerful. I know I need some form of therapy, but not sure how to go about it. I mean, you just look up a therapist.
Yeah. This is not like, so this is, I think, pretty common. So any therapist should be able to work with you on this particular topic.
Also too, because of COVID, a lot of therapists work over Zoom. So you could find somebody in a bigger, like the nearest city near you that specializes in like sexual wellness and therapy. Maybe that would be a good option just for your own comfortability. Thanks for not being shy about the words penis and teaching me so many things about how to treat women. Much love to you. Also too, I think the doctor, Larish had mentioned this in his episode, but like, don't jerk off for a long time. Like, don't jerk off for a week and then have sex with your partner. There you go. It'll work then.
Yeah. Are you? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how much are you jerking off?
Yeah. Maybe it's death grip syndrome, you know, maybe it could be a string of things, but I know that the mental aspect, clearly based off of your email, does play into it.
Yeah. And I think it's also like when it goes on so long, you're like, okay.
This is enough.
Right. Sometimes when things go on so long, you're just like, it makes you get in your head even more about something that should have been maybe like a little bit more easily resolvable. All right. This says, my wife loves your show, but now thinks I'm gay.
Corinne,
that's my
you
fault.
Do?
That's my fault.
That was
and then
totally
I'm going to take
Corinne.
100% responsibility for that.
Sorry, bro.
I'm sorry. I do think everyone's gay. Hi, Corinne and Christina. First off, sorry if this is too long.
Men apologize too.
You might
don't.
Be gay. tried to pare it down, but wanted to give the full scope. I started listening to your show recently at the behest of my wife, who is one of your biggest fans.
Behest, great word.
We'd listened to a few episodes together on car rides and while cleaning the house. Nice, you were cleaning the house with her. I appreciate that. But I've started listening to episodes on my own, and I just wanted to say I love what you're doing and glad I've been introduced to it. That said, we have a very small and hilarious beef.
Let's go.
I, 32-year-old male, and my wife, 28-year-old female, met while working at the same company about 5 years ago. We stayed just friends while we worked together, as I am a big believer in not dating where you work, and also nothing is more cliche than a dude in tech having an inappropriate relationship in the office.
Yeah.
However, around 2019, I left the company, and during the early days of the pandemic, we began hanging out to just go for walks and see each other. This led to us dating, which led to us moving in together, which led to us getting engaged, which led to us eloping this past summer.
Ooh.
We work extremely well together. We communicate well, both for small annoyances and also larger discussions of our future fears and goals out of life.
There's another noise.
Another noise from Michael. Right.
Michael's dropping coins into jars over here.
My glasses hit the mic.
Oh, okay, pop, pop.
Jesus Christ.
I know I have flaws and she has hers, but we support each other in our good times and bad. Also, only because I know the type of podcast you two run, it is worth noting that our sex is fucking phenomenal.
That is worth noting.
I know the type of podcast you two run.
You whores would appreciate this. I lay that dick down good.
Now it's your doing. A couple of years back when we were still about a year into dating, we had a pretty deep discussion about our sexualities. Hers is for her to share with you, but she asked pretty decisively if I was gay or into men at all sexually. I explained that my life has led to me to be very interested in the LGBTQ community.
Yes, okay.
And that gay marriage, the plights of the trans community and stuff like that were a big deal to me, but that I was very happy and comfortable in my sexuality as a straight man.
I mean, I believe that answer.
We continued to have a wonderful night and yada, yada, yada. Well, I think it's just confusing when men care about anyone other than themselves. So I think that's what made you seem gay here, to be honest.
Sorry, men. Oh, that's so funny.
Men, a celebration.
Men, could you think about someone else for a fucking change?
Listen, I think it's a small ask, but okay.
That's so funny.
Then earlier this year, in an attempt to get her to start watching The Last of Us with me, I told her that the third episode was one of the most beautiful love stories I'd ever seen on film, and that it was
Junipero? But for men,
I don't know what that is. Fuck, it's a movie? We gotta stop. Sorry, we gotta stop and look this up because it's gonna plague me.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I just have fucking Sylvester Stallone cock pictures on my phone.
That's such a funny question. Is he a homosexual man or is he just considerate of other people?
Oh, it's an episode of Black Mirror from season 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Over my head. I've watched the first season.
Yeah. This led to another discussion a couple of days later asking if I was gay.
She already asked you that.
She said.
She really thinks you're gay. She really wants you to be gay or something. I don't know.
She said that she didn't know any men that would understand that sort of love story.
All right.
For what it was. That's not like gay.
No, that's just emotionally intelligent.
Yeah. It's worth noting that she comes from a very small rural
town. I'll say.
This guy has feelings. He must be fucking queer.
Yeah. Seriously. Is it in Virginia?
This is worse than me.
Is
Come
it in
on.
Appalachia?
Yeah. I again explained where I stood and asked if there was any other evidence that she was drawing from that we could talk about. And she said, no.
Wow, dude. She straight up just said, you're considerate. You must be gay.
That's really funny. Finally, fast forward to this past week. My wife came into the living room while I'm in the middle of fucking a guy. No, no.
Pranked ya.
Well, I'm in the middle of a movie to have a discussion about something, quote, important. So I shut off the
gay porn movie. Yeah.
And she asked to talk about my sexuality.
All right. Now she needs to get off your dick.
Yeah. We again went over the notes from before. She brought up my keen interest in the LGBTQ community. I mean, like, what?
You want people to be happy and have equal rights.
And The Last of Us again. At this point, it's been brought up several times. And I asked if there was any further reason that she brought it up. And she said that having listened to your show for years, that boyfriends and husbands secretly being in the closet comes up often. And so she became convinced that it was somehow one of these folks.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, but there's
other evidence.
There's like reasons why said people are gay, not because they like it. And episode of The Last of
Us. And they're emotionally intelligent to understand the power of a love story. That's an emotionally intelligent person.
Yeah, I know lots of guys who like love stories. We had a great laugh about it.
Good.
Now, look, I don't have any issues having a discussion about my sexuality, but I was in the middle of watching After Sun.
Uh-oh. And so is that some gay soap opera?
We got to look up. You know, there's a lot of emotions in that one.
After Sun.
That's why I'm not familiar with any of these. And so now this is affecting my movie time.
Oh, no.
Corinne and Christina, I ask for your aid in this matter. My question is simply, can you help assure my amazing partner that I'm not secretly going to reveal myself as gay and break her heart? Yeah, nothing. I got to be honest. Nothing about this email reads as gay to me.
And she's got best gay at art a game.
Yeah.
So
it was, you know why? Because he apologized for it being long. It wasn't long at all.
No.
There's not a lot of filler. We just got the facts. There was very little emotion involved.
That's some straight man shit.
It's a very straight email.
Yeah. So, Madame,
a straight male email.
Your husband is not gay.
No, he doesn't seem gay.
Not gay. The court has spoken.
Not gay.
Okay. This is a quick one. Spooky question. Oh, I love spooky shit. So, a little background. Girlfriend and I. This is such a straight man email. Little background. Girlfriend and I have been together for 2 years this year. We basically have fallen out of the honeymoon phase, which I understand is normal. Yes, it is. But my question is, after I've done surprises for her, bought her sexy clothes, doing spontaneous trips, at what point do I realize maybe she's just not that attracted to me anymore? Or is that even a thing?
Are you asking if it's a thing for a woman not to be attracted to a man anymore? Is that a real question that you just... That's a spooky thing. Question.
Ooh, there's a ghost of your future relationships. You've fallen out of the honeymoon phase. Yeah. That's normal. 2 years? I mean, it's a long ass honeymoon phase. Good for you.
Ease up with the buying her sexy clothes.
Yeah, because that could be interpreted
weird. Nothing makes a woman want to fuck you less than the forced suggestion of a sexy outfit for her to wear.
For you.
For you.
That's a good point.
Give me a fucking break. I'll be wearing sweatpants for 2 months if someone so much as presented me with that shit.
I'd be wearing one of those blow up Halloween costumes where you're the dinosaur, but you got to like blow it up with air first. Oh, and I'll just walk around the house knocking shit over.
Happy birthday. Could you be a little sexier? You fucking piece of trash.
My question is, after I've done surprises for her, bought her sexy clothes, doing spontaneous trips.
What's done surprises for her mean? When a man says it, that's alarming. I've done what was the surprise? Here's a woman who's gonna fuck me at the same time as you.
Yeah, we're having a three-way, babe.
Surprise!
I'm GGG as hell. At what point do I realize maybe she's just not at a track? Okay, so yeah, you're equating the being out of the honeymoon phase as being out of the attracted to each other phase. Those are two different things. Like, and your attraction evolves over time; it ebbs and flows. Attraction, especially romantic sexual attraction, is very cyclical. You know what I mean? So like you could go, you're going to have, if you guys stay together, you're going to have phases of like being on and then phases of being off and phases of like, oh, sometimes in my relationship, like it was like very fiery in the beginning. And then I'm like, wait, is it okay that we're just like sitting here not talking? And then I had to realize like, yes, that's actually very healthy. And like, it's weird to just talk all the fucking time. You know what I mean?
I've been trying to tell this one that for
years.
I know,
I finally got it. I finally got it in the midst of a moment of silence that I was enjoying. I was like, oh shit, we're not incompatible. We're just settled into each other. And that's really lovely. Fuck. Wild. Doesn't always have to be rocky. Turns out.
Also, it feels like he is putting a lot of the onus of the sexuality having fizzled in the relationship on her. It's like, dude, what are you doing? What sexy outfits are you wearing? Are you still in shape? Do you brush your teeth 3 times a day?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And you know what?
How sorry about you.
You know what turns women on too?
What?
3 times a day.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. Yeah.
What, 3 times a day?
Really?
I brush my teeth 3 times a day. Yeah. Because
well,
I mean,
that's
like,
awesome.
Morning and then before, like, whatever I'm doing for like a before my shows and then at night.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll do it.
So, I mean,
shows.
Like, if I'm in the house,
he's not brushing his teeth 3 times a day.
If I'm in the house, if I'm in the house all day, only 2. But yeah, I mean, like,
just got to get the shit out of your teeth, and flossing is very, it's like, oh God, can we be done yet?
If I'm going to talk to people and I've eaten a meal in between, then yes, I'm brushing again. Mm. For sure.
Yeah. Cause sometimes you got stuff in the middle of your teeth and you're like, oh man, I didn't know that was there. And it's just exhausting to have to check. Mm-hmm. So just brush it and get it away with. Also too, you know, so you spent a lot of energy at the top of the relationship. Surprises. I love surprise. Oh, I love that. I've never had a partner that did that, but I've always dreamt of it and always assumed somebody's about to surprise me and they never do, but that's okay. Because maybe my expectations are too high. But maybe channel some of that energy of like surprising her and doing spontaneous trips. That's a lot of work, a lot of energy. So morph that energy along with the way your relationship has been morphing and go, how can I be there for her now in a way that's sexy, that turns her on? And I gotta say, when a dude like does an errand, like when my boyfriend like washes the car for me, fills up the tank, like just like a nice tiny thing that really helps. I'm so horny for that. I don't know your partner, so she might not, but I guarantee it's not gonna be bad.
Yeah, I think sometimes men concentrate on like these like big romantic gestures, and you're not, you know, you're not good at the little acts of service that I think women really appreciate more in the day to day, right? Like it's lovely to get like a nice gift or to be swept away to a romantic trip, but that's not really real life. That's like a fantasy world.
Yes,
and I feel like men live in a fantasy world more often than women do. That's why we're in bad moods.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of like, oh, okay, but we're over here in the real world making the day-to-day parts of your life work.
Yeah.
We're doing the fucking laundry. We're cleaning. We're taking care of the kids. I mean, not me. Not doing any of those things. But,
you're there
but in theory.
Jerking off in the bathroom.
In
your porn.
Theory, yeah.
Yeah. So be present in the relationship.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. This one says, I put up a billboard ad to find a girlfriend. It worked.
I love this energy.
This is cool.
See, look at these. Look, I'll put him in the same category. Hope he didn't meet to anybody.
He's handsome.
Yeah, he is. Of fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like just dudes going, I want to do this. I'm going to put myself out there and be bold.
Yeah. Wow.
Good for you.
First of all, I love your message about, in quotes, anti-slut shaming.
Why are the quotes there?
Ah, sweet. I see so many of my female friends struggle with it. I've got a story for you that I think your listeners will love. Last week, I put up a billboard ad to find a girlfriend. It worked in a week? To find a girlfriend during this pandemic. Oh, this is from a while ago. Okay. That's how far we had to search to get a cohesive email from a man. And so far I've gotten 800 applications in less than a week.
Whoa.
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 Here is the press release I put out for more info. We can click. Oh, wow. Holy shit.
Whoa, dude.
It says, young man put up a billboard to find a girlfriend. Leon Hendricks, a young entrepreneur from Germany.
That's why you're not American. That's so much better.
He put up a billboard in Austin, Texas, and launched an entire marketing campaign to find his American dream girl. The online bachelor also offers a $5,000 prize to whoever refers the woman to the campaign that eventually ends up becoming his girlfriend.
Jesus.
So far, over 700 women have applied for a virtual date with Leon after only 6 days of launching. As you can see, quickly after posting it on social media, the story went viral and people all over the world either loving or hating it. And then local news picked up the story. While the $5,000 has been a highly effective marketing tactic to get people to share it, a lot of people are outraged by it.
How could a man do this for love?
Yeah. Even though Leon has met some great women on online dating apps during this pandemic, he was looking for a less time-consuming way to meet women that also helps him stand out.
Yes, I love this.
After sharing this idea with his friends jokingly, he decided to go ahead with it after finding a billboard for an exceptionally cheap price. Because if anything at all, it will be a fun story to tell his grandkids. Leon is 24 years old, and after selling his first business in 2018, he moved to the U.S. in January 2020 to start his second company in Austin.
Wow. Wait,
it's a mover and a shaker.
Website's still active.
Yeah, that's a mover and a shaker there.
Nope, can't be reached. He must have found his match.
He's in love. He can't. He doesn't need to be reached. He's in love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you, Leon.
Leon, I'm proud of you.
Oh my God, these guy emails are so funny. They're so short.
Yeah.
This next subject line, anal sex help.
Yeah, on the men only episode, we read 15 emails. On the women one, we get to like 3.5.
Barely.
And I'll be like, then the moon was in this phase. And I was just like thinking. And I thought back to this other question that I had. And then my mom came home, which put me in like this kind of a weird mood because our Christmas wasn't good together 2 years ago. And I love you for it. Listen, that's the way I give so much detail in my therapy sessions. I mean, I'm taking I have loose leaf that I've written.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking out posters. I'm taking out surveys. I'm like, I did a poll.
Yeah. Well, maybe we do think too much. I don't know. Sometimes when my girlfriend and I are having anal sex, I miss the booty hole.
Oh, while like he like
furiously
it.
Pounding. Oh, I see. I thought
like
you
hit
like,
the taint.
I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss the booty hole while furiously pounding. Okay. Furiously pounding an anal. Can we just stop right there and go no to that?
Ow!
Furiously pounding?
No.
No woman. We don't have prostates up our assholes. Ooh. Guys do. So women don't like the pounding. Ugh, I enter her vagina by mistake. Oh, what a terrible accident. Is there a product out there that we can use to tape or cover the vagina so that I could pound her booty hole like it stole something without accidentally entering her VJJ.
Now, is this these one
are
you
more,
like?
All right, these this is are a prank. More this feels like a prank.
What I was expecting from this episode.
I was expecting
15 of these.
No, I honestly didn't. I didn't. Because I had high hopes for you men. But it's a valid question. How do I tape my girlfriend's pussy up so I could go to Pound Town
truly,
on her asshole?
One of the stupidest things I've ever heard. They say there's no bad questions or stupid questions. We found one.
Well, no, this one stands with the guy telling us that he could tell what a woman's vaginal lips look like by looking at her facial lips.
That's insane. This is stupid. I think they're two different things. One was like a guy being, you know, just out of office meds, I guess. And then this one is a person actually unintelligent. And it's almost like we're being trolled.
Okay. But I answered your question. Okay. So I Googled tool to cover vagina during anal. And your answer is a vaginal dilator.
And what do you know?
There you go. There's a lot of men that want this exact same product.
Yeah. Well, because I mean,
I can't believe something like that exists.
I don't think that's the number one purpose for it, but I think they're saying, hey, this is not what we made this for.
Yeah.
But if you do
love, we'll find a way.
But if
though.
You do find yourself keep inserting your dick into the vajayjay while pounding someone during anal, this could be helpful to you.
Yeah.
Okay. You can get heroes. A whole set for like $16.99.
Not
right?
All angels have wings, guys.
Right? So this is, there you go. Because the thing is, if he does,
can't go into the pussy after going into the booty
exactly.
Because then I'm going to get
fecal
fucking
matter.
UTI.
Fecal matter
is going to last for a while.
Yeah. That's very bad. So
also, okay, yeah, I'm not gonna chime in on the other thing.
I was like, I knew there would be some kind of a vagina butt plug is what we need, and we found it. What do you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
What do you know?
Okay, so how long have we been recording? Because I know we want to go a little over an hour.
You were at an hour five.
Okay, cool. All right, so do we want to stop?
I got to read this next one.
Okay,
this looks juicy.
Okay.
Subject line, my take on men and relationships. Ooh, take me to school. not a question, but a comment regarding your conversation about why men stay in unsatisfying relationships. I think men so easily settle since even the worst woman is better than the best man. Sorry, that's not, I keep reading the
wrong. Oh, we got a prankster.
I keep reading the wrong line here. I think men so easily settle since they won't ever have to do so in any other areas of their lives.
Oh,
that's insightful.
That's an insightful thing, but that's a big area.
Right. Because of hetero male privilege in our society, they can afford to have one area of their intimate life be, quote, just okay.
Baby boy, you just served with some honesty and I appreciate it because that's what we fucking assumed anyway. So
this is such an interesting theory.
It's
I love
great
it.
Getting the truth.
Women refuse to. Well, don't worry. We'll throw to you in a sec, Mikey.
A resident man.
Women refuse to settle because we are constantly having to deal. Wait, is this from a woman?
No.
But she says we. Women refuse to
because
settle.
Because we men.
Women refuse to settle because we are constantly having to deal with the bullshit of some level of oppression or lack of opportunity or discrimination or expectations to lessen ourselves.
Oh,
Is this from a woman?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, it's not your month.
Dude, this is men's month. Get off of our thing. I mean, maybe, yeah.
And because men are generally less invested in their internal emotional world and women tend to, she said emotional, it's definitely from a woman.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody, to taint this episode with a woman's.
But we do have a mole.
And also, I love that this is the first theory that we were excited about and it was written by a fucking woman.
Of course. We're like, oh, this is so interesting. Yeah, because a woman wrote us. God damn it.
Fuck.
And women tend to spend, and because men are generally less invested in their internal emotional world and women tend to spend much more energy there, it holds less importance, I'm guessing what you meant, and value to them. It's easier for them to let that be mildly unsatisfying because it's not that valuable to them to begin with. Further, I think the idea that men don't want to leave because of some caretaking / providing responsibility is really infantilizing and demeaning to women. It puts women...
Oh, lady, give me a fucking break.
I don't even know
I think the idea that men don't want to leave because
that's
of some
what
caretaking
I said.
Thing...
And when we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Like the comfort, like leaving a relationship's harder for men because of the comfort that they get from the caretaking aspect of it.
No. I what I said was that I think it's if you are the one that has to leave the situation.
Yeah.
As a man, the conflict that I think you face is that you are essentially emotionally breaking down a woman that traditionally you're supposed to sort of like protect.
No. My therapist agrees with you, and my therapist is a straight woman. She said men hate breaking women's hearts.
Yes. That's the easy way to say it.
She 100% agreed with you, Michael. She 100% agreed with you.
They do?
Yeah.
Then why do they do it?
They don't do it that often. So I think what you're talking about is they don't show up for us a lot. But like,
that breaks my heart.
That's
an indirect.
Yeah, indirect, exactly. Yeah. So they'll dance around. They'll break your heart, not directly, but to directly. You're already in a relationship with someone. So they'll skirt around not getting in the relationship. But when they are in the relationship to say, Christina, I don't want to see you anymore. You'd have to chop off their dick. And even then they might forgive you.
Wow.
It puts women in a role of needing men. And if that's how men view their female partners, are they even respecting them? Ew. Okay. So, we have a rat in the house.
Yeah, get her out of here.
Hey lady, move it over. It's men a celebration.
Is this Caroline's month or is this our month?
Who's Caroline? Who's Caroline?
I don't know. I just imagined that was the woman who wrote it.
Wow.
Brittany, okay, Stephanie, pick a name. I don't know.
I'm just making sure this is, because an ex-wife, very valid reason. Wait, was this by a woman? Is this a woman?
I don't know.
I don't want to hear from a woman.
Me neither.
A loyal fucker feels like such a female sign off.
A good positive love story. I only want to hear that from a man. I found your podcast.
Whatever. Let's wrap it up by ourselves. We can't trust these emails. All the other ones
these
were for men.
These hoes be sneaking in.
They were vetted from men. You could tell from how short the emails were and how lost they seemed.
Yes.
Some of them are fine. No, thank you for writing in, even if it was, 2 to 4 years ago.
Yes. let's take the time to do an open call. Male listeners, I know you exist. I know you're out there, especially during our lives. You motherfuckers be calling and texting. That's awesome. Put your feelings, put pen to paper. And by that, I mean, write us an email. Sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. I'd be curious, what are your opinions on this? Like, what are your opinions on everything that was shared? What do you think about men? Like, do you find that to be true? If you're a straight man, that you don't want to break a woman's heart?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
And are you relieved that we found something to put in the vagina while you slam the butt?
Can you believe
that we did
that? You could tape her pussy hole all on a buddy good pound town on that fart factory.
Well, I wanted to get him an answer because I just was like so scared that he was going to start putting like painter's tape and stuff on his
That'd be terrible.
Masking tape,
duct
tape all over his girl's pussy.
I didn't think that was necessary.
Ouchies.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. That's where you email us.
Thank you so much. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
time while I have you on my mind. Oh, killing time while you're drifting.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.